Praise the Lord, beloved. We are glad to be with you on another day, another Sunday, another Sabbath day, another day that we have set aside to worship and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him we give all the glory and all the honor for this blessed day. We thank the Lord for the time he's giving us, and he has already given us in praying that even as we continue going through this day, we can do so living and walking in his spirit. Having said that, let us just turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank you and glorify you, Lord, for being so good and for being so good to us. We thank you for your loving kindnesses and tender mercies towards us. Thank you for watching over us as we slumbered and slept through the night, waking us up this day and allowing us to have the activity of our limbs, even in being enclosed in our right mind. We pray with power that as we go through this day, as we've already stated, that we can not just go through with living and walking in your spirit, but also with our whole armor of God on, that we might be able to stand against the tricks and traps and attacks, even the temptations thrown on us by Satan and his minions. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we can govern ourselves in such a way this day, Lord, that even those who don't know you and are pardon of their sin will be able to look at us and say something peculiar about those people. Be able to look at us and see you through our life living, that you might get the glory out of our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as you allow me to be able to say the word that you've given me to say, Father, that I can do so without my pride and ego and vanity getting in the way, but to be able to say what you would have to be said, Father, even the way you would have it to be said, and praying always, always that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you will be glorified. But this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Again, we're thanking and praising the Lord for I wasn't blind, but just for even renewing my sight to allow me to have even better vision, and we thank the Lord for that. And just to throw out there, we're scheduled for the other eye to be done. I believe that's June 3rd. So again, I believe God, I trust God, so I'm not worried about anything, but I also believe in the prayers of the saints. Why? Because just like we had our parents when we were growing up, those who took care of us, raised us, and surely they knew what we needed. They knew we needed clothes. They knew we needed shoes. They knew we needed this and the other. But being a parent now, I realize they also would love to be asked sometime, just as sure they love to be thanked sometime. So our Heavenly Father, even though he knows what we need, it's nice. I'm sure it's nice them to hear us ask him certain things sometime, and then to thank him when he gives it to us. So yes, I asking him to continue to guide the doctors and nurses and everyone else that's in not just my care, but in the care of all who are in the hospitals and all, that he will bless us to come through our procedures safely, well, and go on to even a great, healthy recovery. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask that you turn with me today to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture to most of us. And we're going to read in your hearing from the 17th through the 20th verses. Our focus, of course, will be on the 19th through the 20th verses, but we're going to be reading the 17th through the 20th verses of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Amen. For those who may not be able to turn to your Bibles this day, maybe even in your vehicles listening, I will be reading in your hearing from the New International Version. Let us hear what thus says the word of the Lord. We know that this passage of scripture is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. Even though we're not reading all of it, this is where we're going to be reading from. The 17th verse, which begins as such. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 17th through the 20th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, I just want to share a few things with you about this passage. Okay, just a few things. But before I go into this passage, for those who are familiar with the book of Revelation, and for those who are not, in Revelation, the second chapter, in just the second through the fifth verses, as we know in the second and third chapters, it is focusing on the seven churches in Asia Minor. We know that the Lord looked on these churches, and there, with the exception of two, he found something he had a problem with them. And this lesson is not on that. We talked about those seven churches not too long ago. But I just want to ask that you remember in the book of Revelation, the second chapter, and the second through the fifth verses, where the Lord let the church in Ephesus know that despite all the good things they were doing, I mean, they were doing a lot of good things. Today we look at them and we will see that they're doing such fine ministries, and we'll see how those who are part of that fellowship, part of that church, were engaging in all types of good things. As anybody would look upon it, you see all kind of good things. They're doing things probably, I guess, in the community and surrounding, and just doing good stuff. But the problem the Lord had with them is that they have forsaken their first love. They have forsaken their first love. I mean, they were doing a lot of good stuff, but the primary directive, the first thing they should have been doing, the main focus of what they all were supposed to be about, they had forsaken that. That had gotten on the back burner. That was not given the full attention and all of the attention it should have been given. And we want to keep that in mind and think about that. Even out today, that goes on so very much today. That yes, we get so caught up in different, as we like to use the phrase again, ministries today, that the attention we should be given to our prime directive goes on the back burner. But y'all may not believe me. We want to examine a little bit further in this passage today. Okay. Now, as we just stated, the things that are so prevalent today, the Lord will look at us and have problems with. Okay. Now, and I'm sorry to say that the prime directive A lot of churches are missing. But yeah, a lot of churches are missing it. You know, there are too many churches. I'm saying this here. And if it's your church, we hope and pray we straighten it out. But there's too many churches that are trying to bring in people. You're trying to bring in people. Okay. I mean, you do different things to attract folks to bring them in. And some say, well, that's all right. That's what we're supposed to do. Once I get them in there, I can do this, that, and the other. I'm not going to judge that. I'm not, you know, it's not my place, you know, to do that. But I'm just going to bring something out. I just want to throw something out there, and I'm probably going to let it go. There are too many churches trying to bring in people instead of trying to bring in disciples. I'm not trying to play a word game with you. I'm trying to make it simple. There are too many churches bringing in folks instead of trying to bring in the people that want to be a follower of Jesus. I'm not just simply, I'm not, and we are not supposed to just bring folks in to fill the seats and then disillusion ourselves, rationalize that our act for doing that and saying that once we get them in there, we can minister to them, we can do this, we can do that. And that sounds honorable. It sounds good. But remember what the Lord said to the church in Ephesus. Okay, you're forgetting your first love. But let's go a little bit further. And I'm gonna make this clear. I'm not forgetting this. I'm not forgetting where I stopped saying this. I'm gonna come back to this. Trust me. Okay. Focusing on our text for today. Okay, in Matthew. Okay, focusing on that. Okay, we want to say this. I'm gonna say this, and then I'm going deeper into that. When someone does come to accept the Lord, and now watch this. When someone does come to our local church to accept the Lord or they desire to join the church, many churches feel that they need to get that person involved in some auxiliary as soon as they get there. I mean, you know, today we call them ministries. Okay, but you want to get them involved in some auxiliary in the church. And this is partly true. You need to get to work. You came in, and it's just like, you know, those of us who've been on the, well, as I say, like to use the phrase again, it's out there, been on the battlefield for a while. You know, we want them to know that, okay, fine, you're right here in the midst of the war now. Let's get to work. You know, I'm reminded, you know, yes, I am a veteran, and I'm reminded of speaking with other veterans who had been in the war. I didn't go over in the war, but I remember speaking to some brothers who have been in the, you know, the Korean War even, but especially those that had been in Vietnam. And I remember one particular guy telling me that he remembers when they landed, the door opened, and no sooner than the door was open, they had to jump out and duck, and bullets was flying. They said, all right, you're here. Now we can, you know, remember your training. And, you know, and that was that. Now you got to think about this for a moment. You might say to yourself, now these young guys are just fresh out of, some of them are fresh out of boot camp. Young, some of them might still be teenagers. Okay. Had never been in any kind of wars type situation. And that this is what your first thing you're confronted with. Bullets flying. You got to jump out and duck, hit the dirt and do what you've been trained to do, to scurry through to try to find a place so you can defend. You might say, wow, that's devastating. But don't you realize that that is the same thing for those of us who are out here fighting for souls? When you don't you realize when someone comes to the Lord, okay, they are thrust right into this fight. Oh yeah. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we have been teaching them and telling them what you're getting ready to get into and what this is really about, they will understand that yes, you're getting ready to go right into the fight. Now, some of you say, well, we could find ways to eat. No. This is part of the problem we're having. We're not trying to sugarcoat anything. The Lord told us Himself, I'm putting you out there like as lambs among wolves. I'm putting you out there. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this thing. I didn't tell you I'm putting you out there as superhuman lambs, bionic lambs. I'm putting you out there as lambs among wolves. And you know what wolves want to do to the lambs. By the way, some folks say, well, man, I don't want to do this. I'm scared. But don't stop there. Also let them know that, yeah, wait a minute. I want you to know something else. I'm with you. And as David said in the Psalms, my rod and my staff should comfort you, letting you know I'm here to protect you. I'm here to not just protect you and keep it enable you to keep going, but to keep those who will come and do you harm, to be able to keep them away from you. You just have to stay with me. This is what the Lord is saying. So yes, okay, we need to understand that. We are to bring in disciples. When we are bringing that person who says they want to join the church, we're bringing in that person who says they want to accept the Lord. Make sure you let them know what they're accepting. I'm not saying that's not going to be done in 5 minutes. It may not be done in 5 days, 5 hours, 5 weeks. But you don't believe me. Let's go into the text. I want to bring out a few points from this passage that I just read from you in Matthew. First thing, he tells us in verse 19, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now that's pretty plain. Then, we got to take note of several things here. Okay. First off, Jesus is talking to disciples. Okay, he's already talking to disciples. He's letting his disciples know that they are to go out and replicate. You're supposed to go out and duplicate. You're supposed to go out and make others who are just like you. You're supposed to go out and get others who are following my teachings. Go out and find others who are willing to do what it is I say to do. Go out and find others who are willing to get out there and study the word, to go out and get others who are willing to get out in the vineyard. And the list can go on and on and on. This does a couple of things also for believers. One, it keeps believers on their toes. They let us know that we know we it's not good enough to say, well, my name's on the roll. Yeah, I accepted the Lord and yada yada yada. He said, no, you got to show this. Just like the word, just like he tells us in his word, you cannot be just hearers of the word. You need to be doers of it. You need to be the first partakers of the fruit. You need to be the husbandman. You need to be the one who this word ministers to first before you even begin to think about going out and ministering it to somebody else. You need to, so he's talking to those who've already committed themselves to this way. What way am I talking about? The way of Jesus Christ, the way of his teaching, what he is teaching us and telling us to do. So he's telling you to go out and make more like you. Then this kind of make you look at yourself in the mirror. Just like I have to look at myself and say, well, I better make sure I'm walking the way I'm supposed to walk, doing what I'm supposed to do, doing what thus says the Lord. Because if I'm going to be making Others like me, I better make sure I'm walking right, I'm talking right, I'm doing right, I'm going right. I better make sure because the Lord gave me a directive. He told me to go out and make disciples. That's what he told me to do. So that's the first thing we need to understand. He's talking to his followers already. He's talking to you, and you. Okay. That's what he's saying. Number two, understand when he says go. Okay. Now, go doesn't necessarily mean that every disciple, every follower of the Lord, of Jesus, is going to go out on the mission field. When he says go, that doesn't say, oh, you automatically become an evangelist. No. That's not what he's saying when he says go. Now I'm not, I make this simple, I'm not insulting anybody's intelligence, but if Jesus is in anywhere, if he's in Jerusalem teaching and tells you to go, that means you go outside of Jerusalem, you go from there. He's not telling you, okay, I want you to go to Asia, I want you to go to Europe, I want you to go to Italy. That's not necessary. I'm not saying that he does not want something to go there, but that does not necessarily mean you have to go out and start going out throughout the whole world. He may tell you to, okay, listen, I want you to go to some such a church there and become part of that fellowship. He may tell you, no, I want you to go over there and start a local church there. He may tell you, I want you to go over this place or that place. But wherever it is, and this is key, and this is very important for the, especially for those who are saying they feel a calling on their life, but you're not sure what this calling is. The one thing you, and I'm gonna say this here, if you don't remember anything else I've said from here on, it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about that. Whatever it is, any believer, any follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is about, it ought to be about upbuilding the kingdom. That's what it's got to be about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It ain't about this person, that person, that organization, nothing. It's all about doing what Jesus said to do. Ultimately, it is to lead folks to Jesus. I can't save anybody, neither can you. I've got no heaven to put them in, no hell, to send them to. Only thing I can do is lead them to the Lord. And the Lord, He's the one, He is the way, the one that would take all of us from earth to glory. That's all I can do. So and this is what we have been commissioned and commanded to do. But let me go on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. So the Lord says, go. He said, go. Go and make disciples. Go and make followers. Go and make those who are committed to the way. Not just go and get people to bring them in. They have numbers. Go and make disciples. You can't make anybody commit themselves. You can't make anybody come. That is why when folks do say they want to accept the Lord, when they want to join the church, you have to hear what it is they're saying. Not put the words in their mouth. Do you come to accept Jesus? Yes. Do you want Jesus to be your savior? Yes. Do you want Jesus to lead you to go? Yeah. All they're saying is yes. Why did you walk up here? Why did you come up here? Why did you feel compelled to come up here when the altar call was given? Listen to their testimony. Listen to what it is they're saying. I've said this maybe as early as last week. I remember when kids would come up. Some were my age, some were younger. I remember when they came up when I did. And I also remember some of the old saints. Usually it was a couple of the old mothers, but sometimes it was some of the deacons too. And I've seen them tell children to hurt them. No, baby, you're not ready. You going back and sit down. I've heard that. Now, some of y'all say, oh, what did the Lord say? Forbid them not, suffer the little children. But they had to come and say something. Once they sent back of those who came up, you just didn't have nothing to say. Why'd you come up here? What do you want? Oh, no, you're not ready, baby. And they weren't. They weren't. If they couldn't tell why they came up there, then I'm not putting the words in their mouth. Oh, they came up here to be saved. They came up here. Oh, suffer the little children. No. No, they're not ready. Because I don't know what you came up here for. If you can't tell me, you're not ready. I can't. Well, they didn't come up here to accept Jesus. Did they confess with their mouth? Did they say anything? Weren't ready. You know what I'm saying? If they had to be saved, they will be saved. If they were so young that they don't really know what to say, then they're not ready. And they're all right. They're still innocent. They weren't ready to come up like that. The Lord knows. I don't know, and neither do you. But I know that they weren't ready to come up and do any confessing because they didn't. And I'm gonna leave that like that. Okay. So we have already said that going doesn't mean you go out on the mission field necessarily unless you know for a fact that is what the Lord told you to do. If that's what he told you to do, like he told me to go here, told you to go there, told that one to go there, and told you to go way over yonder. You gotta know. You gotta know, and that's, a lesson in and of itself. Okay. And like we said, third point I want to say right on this point here, Jesus didn't tell his disciples to go and get members. He didn't say go and make members. He said, go and make others like yourselves. Go and make disciples. And he said, don't discriminate. Don't leave out any race, any culture, okay, any nationality. I don't care who or what they are. If they happen to walk in, if that's where the Lord has you at a particular place, okay, that's where he placed you. Okay, and as you administer in the word of God, and when you've extended an invitation, and that Oriental, that European, that Ethiopian, that Russian, that German, that Italian, whoever they may be, when they came forward and they were able to say that they wanted, what they wanted, and prayerfully, it might have been to accept the Lord as their Savior. If that's what they wanted, let them come. You don't tell them, oh, no, I'm sorry, this is a Baptist church and this is in a African American community. So we just cater to African Americans here. And, you might want to go to the Russian church that's 3 blocks away off of. No. No, your door should be open to all. Now, then, just because they accept the Lord there at your service, the service you're rendering, doesn't mean that they may want to come there and serve there. And that's all right. That's all right. It just so happens they met the Lord this particular or that particular day through, as you were ministering that particular message, and they accepted the Lord there. But they said, well, there's a church in my name, but I didn't know, and but I didn't really know what Jesus was about, and whatever it is they're saying. But they accepted him there. You may say, well, listen, you might want to go there in fellowship. Oh, you may want, or you're welcome to continue here. But praise the Lord, you become part of the family this day. And that can happen. And some of you say that has happened with us. Don't be offended and don't be upset when someone comes to your fellowship, to your church. They accept the Lord there, but they don't join there. They go somewhere else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got a lot of people in my family. I got cousins. Okay, nieces, nephews, they all don't live under my roof. They don't live in my house, but they're still family. same thing with us as believers. We got a lot of people in our family. They don't all live with us. They don't all come to our local church. But they're still family. Leaving that. So that's what he told us in verse 19. A little bit further in verse 19, he says, what? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I'm not going to go into the discussion about the baptizing part. You got to baptize in Jesus' name. I'm not going down that road. That's not what I'm for, the point I'm bringing out. And if I did not make it plain, let me make it plain to you again what our subject is for today. Maybe this will make more sense to you. Our subject for today is simply this. What am I supposed to do now? I meant to say that, give that to you earlier, but I'm giving it to you now. That's our subject for today. What am I supposed to do now? And I'm thinking about those who are saved. Maybe you just got saved. Maybe you've been saved for a while, but you've been just, you know, piddling around. Maybe you're one of those who at that point say, I don't know what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I know there's a calling on my life, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What am I supposed to do now? That is our subject for today. You know, so we've already talked about a couple of things, okay? For disciples that are already out there, one, you're supposed to be replicating yourselves. You're supposed to be duplicating, so you're supposed to be making more like you. How do you go about doing that? That's the learning process also. Am I supposed to be what? What am I supposed to be doing? Giving out pamphlets, giving out tracts. Am I supposed to be on the corner? Am I supposed to preach? You're not sure what to do, but you do know one thing. The Lord said to go out and teach. That means, you know, at least I should be into the Word of God. Study to show myself approved unto God. Now, that study doesn't mean just open up a book, but I'm just leaving that right there. Study to show yourself approved. A workman, excuse me, a work that's proved unto God. A workman. And I love that verse where it always reminds us that we're always on the job. I'm a workman. I'm on the job. I'm working. I'm working in the field. Okay. I'm on the battlefield. I'm out there on the field, you know, trying to bring in the sheaves, trying to bring in these souls. This is what we're doing, okay? And what we're doing is not just bringing the folks in to be bringing them in. We're bringing in those who want to follow the Lord. And that's a very important thing. As you know, do y'all realize, I got to pause here for a second. Do you realize that is the same thing with those people that are always coming to you, always coming to you for prayer? Do you have those people that said, listen, come pray for me, do this, do that, do that? They're not believers. Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize that you're going to your Father to ask them, ask your Father to do certain things for them, and they don't even have the courtesy. The courtesy to listen to what he's saying to them. Don't you realize he's been hunching them, as we used to say, urging them to come to become part of his family for the longest. And they're not doing that. They've heard the word. It's been ministering to them. Okay? Many seeds have been dropped to them. Even water. How do I know that? They had enough sense, or whatever you want to call it, to come and ask for him to bless them. Now, they don't feel close enough that they can ask God to bless them themselves. But they know that you are saved, know that that's your Father. So they ask you to ask him to bless them. I'm just throwing that out there. I want you to understand what it is you're doing. And how way too often we're anxious to go to God to bless folks instead of going to God and praying for them for their soul salvation. That's always the priority for us. for folks. You want me to ask God, my father, to do this for you? Why do you want me to ask my father to do this for you? Well, I know he can. You know he can. Do you know that he can also get you from earth to glory? This got to be in our DNA. This has to be. This has to be. Now you're saying to yourself, I'd love to be able to do that. I'm not sure how. Let's go a little bit further. Remember what I told you at the beginning? I haven't forgot where I first started. Would you just stay with me for a minute? Because I'm almost done. So, yes, when you're baptizing them in the name of the Father, the key thing here, we're talking about baptizing them. And we got to understand that now, okay, they have accepted the Lord and have become disciples of Jesus, the first order of business is to baptize them. They've accepted the Lord. Okay. He said to go out and do what? Make disciples and to baptize them. Baptize them. Baptism does not seem to be as an important and it doesn't seem to have as much, I don't want to use the word fanfare, but it doesn't seem to have the same effect today as it used to. And it definitely doesn't have the same effect today that it had back then. Back then, you weren't in the majority when you did this, but you stood out in the community. You stood out among the people when they seen that you were baptized. This was not done in secret on purpose, but it was done among witnesses to set you apart, to let folks understand who you were, and you were proud to do that. They let folks know, I've become part of this way. I've become part of the household of faith. I've become part of the disciples that followed Jesus. You were proud of that, and you did not mind displaying that, and you couldn't wait to do that. Today, you may still do feel that same way, but it's not the crowd of people that gather around. And this is what we need to also remind our fellow believers, that you might be highly regarded, highly respected, given a lot of attention in the household of faith. But out here in the world, they can care less about you being saved, about you being deacon, trustee, usher, whatever position you may be on, you may carry. They can care less. But among the brethren, you're highly regarded, highly respected. Among the brethren, yes, you can come and praise the Lord. You can get your shout in. You can get your hand claps in, your foot stomping in, and pray other people be doing the same with you, and you can have a good time. But get on your step or go out in front of your house, even. Start clapping, praising the Lord like that. Folks will be coming by, a lot of them come by, look at you like you're crazy. Every now and then, somebody who knows the Lord may come by, and they might even join in with you. If they're dropping by, they might say, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. But in the world, they can care less. Okay. So this is what you got. This is what you got now. I want you to see what you got. You've been commissioned and commanded, okay, to make disciples of everybody. You don't discriminate. Young, old, white, black, yellow, brown, educated, uneducated. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Number two, okay, he's telling you to baptize them. Once you have gone and made disciples of them, okay, once they have become disciples, you baptize them. Okay, now we haven't gotten to that part where you got to jump in and become a member of some auxiliary and all that yet. Not yet. Okay, then he says, now watch this. After you do that, you baptize them, and right along with it, all this is going hand in hand. You teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, this is what the Lord said for you to do. Once you have gone on and you've made disciples of them, I want you to teach them my ways and how to follow them. See, it's not enough to just memorize scripture for scripture's sake. A lot of people say, okay, I want you to become part of this class, then we're going to memorize certain scriptures. And I'm not against that. But make sure that the thing that you're teaching them is you're teaching them God's laws, God's ways, not just for memorization's sake. Yes, I'm not giving you these 10 commandments. You got to memorize the 10 commandments. That's a good thing. I'm not saying I'm against that, but that's not what the prime directive is. That's not what the first priority is. The first priority is to teach them to obey these laws, just like I told you to obey them. Teach them to obey them. Don't, I say this all the time. It's not enough for me to go to that kleptomaniac, that thief, and tell them God said you shouldn't steal. He can memorize that. He can memorize that that law. He can memorize that commandment. But how do you? How does a thief stop stealing? How does a kleptomaniac stop stealing? How do I do that? There are other scriptures that will help that person that you take. See, for those of us who are saved, those of us who are part of the household of faith, scriptures become like medicines for us. They become like prescriptions for us. I'm feeling down and out. Oh, this passage of scripture ministers to me. I take that. I'm not sure what to do. This passage of scripture helps me there. I'm not sure where to go. This passage of scripture helps me there. And the list goes on and on and on. That's what the word does for us. So yeah, I want you to teach them. Not just teach them my way, but teach them to obey them. How are you going to obey them? How are you going to live righteously? How are you going to live holy? How are you going to be able to abstain from the things, the temptations out here in the world? Teach them how. Teach them how to do this. This is what the Lord commanded us to do. This is what the Lord has commissioned us to do. And for those of us who have been saved and you're not sure what to do, this what the Lord has told you to do. I'm gonna say this and I'm about finished. For that new convert, for that believer who is saying that they know or that they have been told that there's a calling on their life, I have just two things, two more things to say to you. One, if you feel that there's a particular calling on your life, and I'm talking about a calling that helps you build up the kingdom of God, something that is going to help our fellow laborers in the gospel, something that's going to help those in the household of faith. This is what you need to do. You need to continue seeking the Lord about it. You're praying to Him about it. But while you're praying to Him about it, you say, Lord, I feel like I'm being called to do this, or I'm being called to do that. I'm being called to go here, I'm being called to go there. Meanwhile, one, we should be about what he told us to be about here. Every believer is about that. But on top of that, you be diligent about that, what you believe that calling is. If you feel as though the Lord has called you to preach, then one, whatever fellowship you belong to, and you should be with some Bible-believing fellowship, whoever that pastor is, that leader is, that bishop, that overseer is, you should be under them. Once you share with them, you feel that calling in your life, you should be under them, not just being there twiddling your thumbs. You're learning. You're learning how to preach. You're learning the formal part of preaching. You're learning how You minister to the folks like a shepherd. You're learning how to become a shepherd. You're learning those things because being a pastor is more than just preaching, way more than just preaching. You're learning those things. You're diligent about it. That's part of what being diligent is. You're learning that you're taking notes. You're asking them questions. You get in private and you're asking them questions. As far as ministering to folks go, you're asking them all kinds of questions. That's what you're doing. So yes, you need to be diligent in that area that you believe the Lord has called you. You say, well, I love to organize things, and maybe helps is what the Lord has called me to be a helper. Well, yeah, maybe, okay, well, I'll get involved with this auxiliary or this ministry where I can see if that's where I'm supposed to be at. You get there, you may be working there while I find out that that's really not your thing. That's all right. You'll find something else. Beloved, you're still in the household of faith. You're still there trying to upbuild the kingdom. But you're still going about doing what the Lord said for us to do. You're not hurting anything. You're not hurting anyone. You say, yeah, I was on years ago, we used to have the fuel club. Or I was with the kitchen committee. Or I was with the, none of that worked out for me. But wait a minute. I love being here, helping to maintain the church, make sure it's clean, make sure things were in place. When little things go wrong, I've got enough skill and talent where I can fix certain things. I feel this is where I should be at in this fellowship. That's fine. It still doesn't take away what the Lord has commissioned and commanded us to do, to go out and teach all. You follow what I'm saying? You say, well, what is my part in that? Hey, all I do is give out tracts. That's good enough. Have you taken the time for every tract you give out? Have you read that tract, learned that tract, able to explain that tract? So if somebody you hand it to asks you what it is about, you're prepared to do that. That's diligence. That's showing diligence when you've done that. Okay. So yes, even while I'm trying to find my niche, as some say, in the household of faith, I still have enough to do that the Lord has commanded me and commissioned me to do. Okay. And that's all part of the second part. I said there's two things. Like I said, you've been commissioned and commanded to go about and do what Matthew 28 teaches, to help put that great commission into work. And in doing so, you have found and are looking for your part in doing that. How you supposed to go about it? You give out these tracts. You help those who are doing this. Whatever your gift and your talent is, you use it for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. Beloved, I'm saying this here and I'm done. But there's no reason for any believer to go around saying, I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do when it comes to the household of faith. We've already brought out and made it clear. If it's not clear, I'll say it as clear as I know. If you don't know anything else, put Matthew 28, 19, and 20 to work. Every believer has been commissioned and commanded to do that. If you don't know anything else to do, you can learn in your testimony. You should be able to tell folks how the Lord saved you. You should be able to go up to anyone and say, listen, are you a Christian? Have you been born again? I don't know what words you're using. Whatever it is you feel using, you're raw right now. I don't care what you do. You're not intimidated. You still got that Holy Ghost boldness that you would go up to the Pope. Say, you're the Pope, yes, but have you been born again? You're a doctor, so-and-so, yes, but have you been born again? You're a bishop who? Yes, but have you accepted Jesus as your savior? I know you're big in the Mormonism and whatever you're into, but have you met Jesus as your Savior? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? I'm not, you don't be intimidated by anyone. Not when the Lord has told you to go out and teach all. When I come across one, say, oh, yes, my sister, my brother, I do know the Lord is my Savior. Praise God, brother. Praise God, sister. I bless you, and you keep on moving. You'll find one that doesn't. That's what you do while you're waiting for any special call you think that the Lord has for you. Don't, you're not intimidated. You go out and you're fulfilling, doing your part to help fulfill the Great Commission. That's what you do. That's what we are supposed to be doing. That is ultimately the first call, the first love. What do you think the Lord is keeping you for? What do you think the Lord is protecting you for? What do you think the Lord is showing you favor for, just so you can go through life and wait for him to come and get you? No. The Lord said, I told you I sent you out here as lambs among wolves. We said that earlier. But while I'm sending you out here, I'm keeping my fence around you. I'm keeping you in the hollow of my hand. I'm walking with you. When you grow weary, I'm going to be your strength. If you ask me, I'll give you strength. But when you are so bogged down, when you are so distraught, when you are so frustrated, when you feel like giving up, I'll be your strength. Because you realize I'm right here with you, in you. When you're not sure what to do, I'll give you wisdom. And if you ask for me, I'll continue to give you even more. I won't hold back. I'll give it to you. Why? Because I've sent you out here to do a job. I've told you to do something, and I never will send you out here to do something that I'm not preparing you to do. Beloved, what am I supposed to do now? What are you supposed to do now? He said, yes, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I understand now that just like that guy that was sent out into the fight, into the war, right off the plane, you're right in the thick of the fight. I realize that now that I've accepted the Lord, I too am in the thick of the fight. But it's so good to know that my God is fighting with me. He's fighting for me in a lot of occasions. I thank God for that. What am I supposed to do now? I've been out here for a while. And I've been doing my thing. I don't even know if I know the way back to the path. The Lord said, here I am. You're not sure how to get to me. I can get to you. You just reach out to me. I'll make myself plain. I'll let you know that I'm right here. I have my word, and I have those to minister my word that get you right back on your path. I've never fired you. Your work is still waiting for you to come back and complete it. This is what the Lord has for us. So no, you don't have to go around wondering what it is you're supposed to do. The Lord said, I got plenty for you to do. Plenty. Beloved, I pray that your question of what are you supposed to do now has been answered. Stop going around feeling though that I don't know what the Lord want me to do. And what are you supposed to do? Twiddle your thumbs? No. Put Matthew 28 to work. He said, if you don't know what gives, your start is right there. Find out what it is you can do to help us build the kingdom. You start right there to watch what happened. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for letting us know what it is we're supposed to do now. Letting us know, Lord, that each and every one of us have been thrust into the fight. We have been thrust into battle. But I'm so glad, Lord, you've given us what we need. to be able to stand in this battle. You've given us armor, and most of all, you've given us you. And you've already told us that you'll be whatever it is we need to be, because that's who you am. You am. I can say that because you said that I am. Hope, I am hope. Trust, I am trust. Faith, I am faith. Wisdom, I am wisdom. You are whatever it is we need. He needs you to be out here on your word. And we thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we continue in this day, we pray, the Lord, that we can continue living and walking in your spirit, guided by you, living in such a manner that those who see us will be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our life living. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we dare not close, Heavenly Father, without letting that person who said, I believe I've found the Lord now. I'm ready to accept him as Savior, without letting them know that all you've got to do is just say what you just feel in your heart, that I want the Lord to be my Savior. I want him to forgive me for my sins so that I can walk the way that he would have me to walk, that I can be part of the family of God. And I'm saying to you that if you said that from your heart and meant that right now the Lord has welcomed you into the family. Find yourself a Bible-believing fellowship. Somebody that will even be prepared to go and baptize you. If baptizing doesn't save you, you're already saved. Anyone who's baptized is baptized because they are saved, not to save. Do that. And if you don't know where to go, get a hold of me. I'll direct you. God bless you and smile upon you.